God is communicating with his creation. The book of Revelation even brings this up, where it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants the things which must shortly come to place or take place, and he sent and communicated it. God is communicating with his creation. Now, what we're going to talk about this evening are the times when God doesn't speak. You know, there's a little term in radio world. It's called dead air. When there's supposed to be music on or a commercial on or some DJ is supposed to be talking, when you got your radio on, there should be some noise coming out. And whenever the radio's on and there's silence, some producer, some engineer's running down the hallway somewhere trying to push some buttons, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. We remember years ago, Simon and Garfunkel had a hit song called The Sound of Silence. And sometimes you and I have trouble with silence. I mean, we'd be talking on the phone to somebody, and when we don't hear anybody, we say, "Are you still there?" Because silence is troubling to us. And we're surrounded with all kinds of noise, the noise of the city, the noise of nature. Even in this building, there's noise. You're listening to me. We were all singing together a moment ago. But there are times in our Bible when God was silent. And there's some principles we learn from the silence of God. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. There's at least four occasions in the Bible where God was silent. And I want to look at them with you this evening. The first one takes place in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. It says, when he broke the seventh seal, he says, there was war in heaven. When he broke the seventh seal, he says, I've got to read that in my own Bible. I can't see that. It's too far away. Those lights are getting my eyes. I can't see with the lights. All right. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And there it says, he broke the seventh seal. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, what's interesting, that, you know, we read that and say, okay, that's pretty cool. That's interesting. But multiple times in the book of Revelation, we read about noise. In fact, the writer David Roper said this, ever since John entered into the throne room of heaven, the reader has been bombarded with sounds. Chapters 4 and 5 contain the heavenly chorus. Chapter 6, there's the thundering hooves, the cries of the martyrs under the altar, the Christ of the universe falling apart. Chapter 7 closed with a swelling anthem by the greatest chorus ever assembled. Now, to illustrate this, turn with me in Revelation chapter 5. Let's just run a few of these through with you. And I want you to notice how many times this expression is used. Revelation 5, verse 2 says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, it says. Verse 12, same chapter, saying with a loud voice. Chapter 6, verse 10, they cried out with a loud voice. Chapter 8, verse 13, it says, and I looked, I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice. 21 times in the book of Revelation, we read about a loud voice. But now, there's silence. You know, sometimes in music, they call this a rest. Sometimes when somebody's reading, it's we sometimes call it a dramatic pause. I like what William Barclay wrote about this. He says, the prayers of the saints are about to go up to God. And it may be that the idea is that everything in heaven halts so that the prayers of the saints may be heard. Even the music of heaven, even the thunder of revelation are stilled so that God's ear may catch the whispered prayer of the humblest of his trusting people. A time when God was silent for a period of time. Another time we find this, as we think about this, it's not really in our Bibles, between our Bibles, but this is what we call the silence between the Testaments. Between the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, there are 400 years. And in those 400 years, there are no prophets, there's no inspired books, there's no visions, there's a period of silence from heaven. And we call this the silent years. Now, several important things develop during that time period. It's during that time period where we see the rise of the synagogues. You don't read about synagogues in the Old Testament, but when the New Testament begins, they're already there. Where did they come from? They came from those 400 silent years, we would say. Also, in the Old Testament, we read about Israel or the Jews. Time we get to the New Testament, we see that they kind of fragmented. We have Pharisees and Sadducees and Essenes and all these subgroups of the Jews. When did that come about? That came about during these 400 silent years. It's during this time period that a series of books called the Apocrypha books were written. They're found in, like, the Catholic Bibles and other things, and that's when they were written. But during that time period, God was silent. Now, let's go to another section. Take your Bibles now. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to walk through several Psalms here, and we're going to notice when we think about God being silent to prayers. Let's look at beginning in Psalms chapter 10, if you will. Psalms 10 and verse 1. It says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" It's like he's trying to seek God, and I can't find you. Where are you, God, is what he's saying. Now, stay with me now. Let's go to chapter 22. We've got several of these I want you to notice. Psalms 22 now, verse 1. This will be very familiar to you. We'll think about this and Jesus on the cross. First spoken of in the Psalms here. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groanings. My God, I cry day and night, but you do not answer." Silence. Now, chapter 27, if you will. Chapter 27. Look at verse 7. Chapter 27, verse 7. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon nor forsaken me, O God of my salvation." Then, if you will, turn with me to chapter 44 of Psalms. Notice how many there are. And we're going to make some connections to this in just a minute. Psalms 44 now. Verse 24, Psalms 44, verse 24. "Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our opposition? For our soul has sunk down into the dust. Our body cleaves to the earth. Rise up, be our help, and redeem us for the sake of your loving kindness." Once again, if you will, let's go to chapter 83 of Psalms. Psalms chapter 83. And now let's look at verse 1. Psalms 83 and verse 1. "O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And, O my God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and comprise together against your treasured ones. They have said, 'Come, let us wipe them out as a nation. The name of Israel be remembered no more.'" And then the last one I've chosen is in chapter 143, Psalms 143. And here, once again, we see the plea of the psalmist. Psalmist 143 says in verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness and your righteousness." Then down verse 7, "Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for you who I lift up to my soul." Now what we see here is they were praying to God, but they weren't getting a response. And they were thinking, why doesn't God answer? Why doesn't God hear me? Now, in our Bibles, there's a couple reasons why God may not do that. Peter would say in the book of 1 Peter 3 concerning husbands that we are to live with our wives in an understanding way, lest our prayers be hindered. The way we treat others may affect our prayers. And then Psalm 66, it says, "If we regard wickedness in our hearts, he will not hear our prayers." But here, I think there's just times when God didn't hear the prayer, or rather, God didn't hear the prayers. God heard the prayers, but God remained silent. And that was troublesome. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then the fourth area, when I look at my Bible, times God was silent, is silence to further instructions. That's the period of time you and I are in today. There's no new books of the Bible being written. There's no apostles on the earth today. There's no one saying, I got a revelation from Jesus last night, and this is what the Lord says. Those things had ended. In fact, we find some verses that bring this out to us. Peter would say in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, he says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything that we need to know has been given to us by God. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us, First Corinthians chapter 13, it says that if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, it will be done away. There was a time when God spoke this way, but once the revelation was completed, God nor ever spoke to his people directly again. Now, we get that, but do we? Recent survey among people who call themselves Christians, that's a very broad definition, 1 out of 3 believe that God talks to them directly all the time. In fact, what's happened, many religious people now rely far more on their inner feelings, inner promptings from God, as they believe them, than what the Bible actually tells us. Now, some things we see about this. We see when God did speak in the Bible, first of all, he did not speak to everybody, and he didn't speak every day. I think that's a false idea people have, that every name we read in the Bible, God was talking to them every day and all the time. So we see in Genesis 15, God giving a prophecy to Abraham that his seed would fill the world, that he would be given a great nation, he'd be given a great land. Then God speaks to Abraham again in chapter 17. But what we forget is between those two chapters is almost 15 years. And there's no indication God talked to him in those 15 years. And so that's something we have to remind ourselves of. And then we also realize that when God did speak, it was to apostles, it was to prophets, it was to key people in his biblical story. He didn't just talk to anybody. He talked to people that was going to fulfill his will and played a valuable role in his will. We also understand when we look at this from what the Bible says is that when God did speak, it was with audible words, not feelings and nudges. God spoke and the people heard. God spoke and it was clear what they were supposed to do. And when God did speak, it was concerning his divine will. And so the evangelistic method of Jesus Christ and the apostles was not to go out and get your religious experience. It was not to experience God. It was to listen to the preaching of the word, believe that word, and obey that word. That was the emphasis of Jesus and the apostles. So passages like Jude verse 3 says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it necessary to write to you, speaking that you contend earnestly for the faith once delivered." Once for all times. So those are the four times in our Bible when God is silent. Now here's the first three things if you want to write down. I want you to write down. Three lessons we learn from this. Number one, God's silence is not an indication that he is not near. And that's kind of how we feel sometimes. We sometimes wonder, well, where is God? And because he's silent, he must not be near. His silence is not that indication. We have passages, for instance, in Hebrews 13, where we find this powerful promise of God about being with us and not forsaking us. He would say, "I will never desert you," verse 5, "nor will I ever forsake you," so that we confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?" And so because God is silent, it doesn't mean he's not near. Now turn your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms 90. We read this morning, and I want you to look at one particular verse. Psalms chapter 90. And before I read this verse, you know, we have a hymn that we sing. It's "In His Time." And that's hard for us because we want it to be in our time. I go to bed tonight, I say a prayer, and when I wake up in the morning, I want it to be answered. That is my time, not his time. In his time. Now let me ask you something. This is not a hard exercise. Do you remember what you did yesterday? Saturday, May 22nd, 2020. Remember what you ate yesterday? Now, if I was to say, do you remember what you ate 5 years ago? Well, I would say, I don't remember 5 years ago. Who knows? But you remember what you ate yesterday. You remember who you talked on the phone yesterday. You remember what you did yesterday. Yesterday's fresh because it was just yesterday. Now, Psalms 90, look at verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by. Yesterday for you, yesterday for me was Saturday, May 22nd, 2021. What was yesterday for God? The year 1,000? Look how many years have passed in between. You think about this. We think about Isaiah. Isaiah was 700 years before Jesus. Jesus has been gone 2,000 years. So we're talking about 2,800 years ago was Isaiah. That was Thursday for God. That was Thursday. Moses going up that mountain and all that stuff. Well, Moses, that was just Tuesday. You see how God thinks? And sometimes we're down here and say, why isn't this stuff happening? In his time. What a powerful thing to remind ourselves of as we think about the silence of God. Well, we got the book of Psalms open. Turn with me to chapter 56, if you will. And again, just a gentle reminder to us of how our God thinks about us. Psalms 56 and verse 8. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle, are they not in your book? See, God knows what's going on in your life. And because there's times when maybe you feel like he's distant, like the psalmist, why don't you show your face? Why don't you answer me? Why don't you do these things? It's no indication that God is not near. And that helps us. That helps us as we think about these things. Here's the second thing I'd like you to write down. A second lesson we learn. God's silence is not a time to assume. Now, the old restoration preachers had this motto that they went by for years and years. We speak where the Bible speaks. We're silent when the Bible is silent. We don't hear that much anymore. And what did that mean? That means if it's in the Bible, we'll do it. If it's not in the Bible, we don't take liberties. We don't make assumptions. Now, let me show you an example of this, if you will. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter 7. And this is where this great principle comes from. Now, this is important to us because so many people today live by the understanding, unless God says no, it's okay. If God says no, I won't do it. But unless there's a thou shalt not, unless he says no, I'm going to assume it's okay. Now, in Hebrews chapter 7, he's talking about the law. Very heavy subjects. He's talking about Jesus Christ and his relationship to that law. And in verse 14 of Hebrews 7, he says, it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spake nothing concerning priests. And so what he says above this in verse 12 is that if the priesthood is changed, the law has to change. Jesus could not be a priest on earth under the Old Testament law. Why? Because you had to be from Levi. Now, there's no passage in the Old Testament that says you cannot be a priest under Judah. Thou shalt not be from Judah and be a priest. It didn't say that. But God was silent. Now, maybe you'll understand it this way. Imagine this week you go to get your oil changed. And you go in there. And it's taken a long, long time. And the guy comes out, says, here's your bill. And you look at it, and it's $750. You say, for an oil change? The guy says, well, I changed your headlights. I gave you a whole transmission flush. I changed all the belts in your car, the wiper blades. He just goes on and on of all the things he did to your car. And you think, well, wait a minute. I didn't tell you to do that. And he smiles and he says, you didn't tell me not to. What would you do? I need the manager real fast, okay? We understand that principle. You don't have to say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Here's what you're supposed to do. Couple points of application now. Lots of places you can go with this. Let's be careful how we talk to our friends about the order of worship. I've heard a lot of folks say, well, you know, I go to the Church of Christ, and the Bible says you cannot have instrumental music. Be careful. They'll ask you for that verse, and you won't find that verse. There's no verse in the New Testament that says you cannot have instrumental music. It doesn't say that. But there are 9 verses in the New Testament about music. All 9 of them are singing. There's not one exception to that. And so when I think about that, we say, well, God didn't say I couldn't. Here's what God said I'm supposed to do. You see that? So God's silence does not give me permission to assume. We have some lovely, lovely cooks in this congregation. I've eaten a lot of your food. It's wonderful. Why can't we get a bunch of y'all ladies together and have a bake sale here? We could raise a lot of money. Bible doesn't say you can't. But the Bible doesn't say you can. You see what I'm saying? Why don't we get our young people and have a car wash? Hot days like this, we could get a lot of money in here washing cars. What would be wrong with that? It's simply not in the Scriptures. God shows us how a church raises money. God shows us what tells us what we're supposed to do with that money. And so we see that's what God says. He doesn't have to say no, no, no. And unless he says no, that's a green light. That is an assumption that we cannot make. And so God's silence reminds us of this. Now, here's another thing to write down, if you're writing down. Number 3, God's silence is not a reason to believe that he's not active today. And again, how easy it is to think, well, God did so much with Moses. God did a whole bunch with the prophets. God did a lot with Jesus. Jesus went up to heaven and God went into retirement. No, not true. And just because God is silent on some things, it does not mean he's not active and busy today. Let's just run through a list of some things he's doing. Number 1, he continues to bless. It says, in order that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven, he says he calls us his, notice that phrase, his son. It's God's son. His son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Was the sun up today? Yep. That's a blessing from God. Will it rain sometime? Yep, that's a blessing from God. God continues to bless. God continues to forgive. In the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9, as we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. God continues to reign. In the book of Daniel, says in chapter 2, it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, it says. And over in the book of Proverbs about this, he says, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hands of God. He turns it whatever the way he wishes. God still on the throne? Yes. Is God still doing things? The answer is yes. God continues to extend peace to our hearts, as the book of Philippians says. The peace of God will give us the understanding and the hope that we need. And God continues to have his angels to help us. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, as it talks about angels, it says, and are they not ministering spirits? He says, to render service to those who will inherit the blessing or the salvation of God. We remind ourselves in Luke chapter 16 that when Lazarus died, Luke 16, that the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. God may be silent, but God's busy. And that's what we need to see. And I think the greatest avenue of this is prayer. If God no longer was busy, if God was going into retirement, if God wasn't doing anything, why would we even pray? We pray because we know, we pray because we believe, we pray because he answers our prayer. Now, how do we navigate through God's silence? It's great to find a verse, and that verse is my situation right now. But what happens when there is silence? Well, I have to rely upon what I already know from God's word. And that never changes. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. I've talked to several men who've had their pilot license. Some of them had commercial license. And in their training, they are told sometimes to put a plane in a dive at night. And the whole purpose is you have to trust your instruments. And I remember talking to one pilot. He says, I just know for sure I was going up, 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 up. And I thought we were going to get so high, my engine's going to stall. That was his sensation. That was his feeling. But the reality was he was diving. And the whole point of that is, are you going to trust your feelings or are you going to trust your instruments? For you and I, our instruments is the Word of God. We have to rely upon what we know. God always keeps his promises. God is faithful to us. And so we have to rely upon those when we have the silence of God. Secondly, we have to remember to understand what God expects of us. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, he says, whether we're home or absent, we make it our ambition to please the Lord. That's what we have to do. That never changes. It doesn't change whether we're in a lion's den. It doesn't change if we're facing a fiery furnace. It doesn't change in good times or bad times. What God expects of me is the same. And so when there is silence, I'm not sure which direction I should go. Turn to my Bible. What do I know from God's Word? And what does God want from me? What has He told me in the Bible? That never changes. And then thirdly, I have to know that God has not forgotten me. And I think a great passage to show that is in John chapter 14. Jason took us there today. John 14 and verse 2 and verse 3. It says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I've not forgotten you. I'm coming back for you. I remember you. And that ought to help us. And so, interesting thoughts for us. And I hope it helps us, because sometimes we may get discouraged. I pray and I pray and nothing really changes. And maybe you just feel like I'm out here by myself. You may feel like the psalmist. You may just say, I would just wish God would just tell me, just shout like he did to Moses, here's what I want you to do. But he's not going to do that. How do I get through these things? And although we have a hard time sometimes dealing with silence, hopefully these thoughts will help us as we think about how to conduct ourselves in the realm of God. Interesting thought. Our Lord wants to communicate with you, and he has. And our Lord wants you to know what he has said. And our Lord wants you to believe what he has said. And our Lord wants you to follow what he has said. And our Lord wants you to become what he has said will make you. And our Lord wants you to be with him forever. And this is what his word will do for us. That's what we need to see. And that's what we need to appreciate. If we can help you in any way, if you know enough to be baptized, this is a great time to do it. What a great way to end a Sunday, by giving your heart to the Lord, by being baptized for remission of your sins, to walk with Jesus Christ. And maybe there's times in your life you've been discouraged. And maybe you feel like, you know what, I feel like God is just gone. He left, I don't know where he's at. Maybe this lesson will help you understand how to do things during those difficult times. And maybe if we can help you, if you need some studies, you want to just sit down and talk, we're here to help you in any way we can. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing?